Hey guys, some upcoming live shows that I, Matt, want to tell you about. November 30th at the Bell House, I Don't Think So Honey Live in New York. Then December 5th, another I Don't Think So Honey Live, this time hosted by Joel Kim Booster and myself. December 5th at the Regent in downtown LA. And please come out to my Christmas show, Have You Heard of Christmas, at the Duplex in New York on December 11th, December 18th, and December 22nd. Doing that show three times with some special guests, including musical director, the one and only Henry Kapersky. So we'll see you at our upcoming live shows, folks. We cannot wait. Tickets are on sale for all these events right now.
Forever Dog.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. Wow.
My, oh my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
And something incredible just happened.
What was
where
it?
Where literally every single one of our 100 plus episodes, we start the episode the same way.
Yep.
Bowen goes 3-2-1, we say ding dong. He went 3-2-1, and I said
3-2-1.
I forgot our sign in.
But I kind of was into it. I liked the little spice.
You like the spontaneity, honey.
Can I tell you something?
Tell me.
This girl in high school.
Lay it on me.
Leilani. Forgot her last name. She's very sweet. But one time she posted on my MySpace.
Ugh.
Bowen, I love your spontaneity.
Spontaneity!
And
oh my God.
It ruined the word for me because now I think the word is actually spontaneity. And I'll correct someone. I'll be like, it's actually spontaneity. And then they're like, no, it's not.
I love spontaneity.
It's actually, no, it's the stupidest word.
It's rule of culture number 9. It's spontaneity.
I'm not repeating that.
We have to.
Okay, go.
It's spontaneity. And also, it's kind of like I declare that this is not a word, but you say it's a word. Tragical.
I think it's a word.
No, it is tragic. It's not tragical.
I think tragical is a word. Look it up.
I heard one time talk about this tragedy, and she was like, it's
so
tragical. It's so tragical.
But it's
and
like
she kept repeating it like she was like, it's tragical. And like, it really was tragic, but the fact that she kept calling it tragical, I was like, you're making it funny.
No,
it's a great way to add levity to like a funeral.
Totally.
You know?
It's 100%.
Tragical. Get everybody on the same page.
Yeah, and like
about
say something
this
wrong.
Dumb bitch that's saying a word wrong.
And say something a word
who
wrong.
Who the fuck is this talking?
I came from nowhere, but I'm here to say certain comments about a word you say.
Oh my God.
My God.
This poet, this rhythmical girl.
I'd also like to add to Leilani. I hope she's listening and correcting she.
Yes.
Correcting.
I hope Leilani has been using that word without correction until this episode.
Until this
of
episode.
Last coach.
Let's coach. Wait, hold on. Who is this?
Who is this? This
who is she.
Who is she?
She's truly like the coolest. The coolest.
One of the coolest stars.
One of the coolest stars in the galaxy.
And many cool stars in the galaxy.
Wait, why are you talking about the other cool stars?
Excuse me. Hi. We see you out there. We're not talking about you for the next 90.
We love her so much. Check out her Netflix special right now.
Mm-hmm.
The comedy lineup.
The quarter hour space is really blowing up.
Really blowing up the quarter hour space.
I don't want to do stand up for longer than 15 minutes.
I
gotta be honest, I don't want to see it for longer than 15 minutes.
Ooh. Literally, give me 7 minutes in a year. Kill it.
I'll kill. You know, I'm gonna make my 7 minutes count.
It's gonna be the 8th hour space. That's gonna be huge.
Writer for a search party.
Writer for a search
if you're
party.
You're searching for a good show.
And there you go. And we, a little birdie told us the scuttlebutt is
the smallest bird. It was so crazy how small the bird was. I was like, what are you doing here so small?
I didn't see it. And you guys were like, is that a bird? And I was like, I think it's a fly, but we looked closer. It was a fly.
It was
and
a bird.
We dissected it. It was a bird. A little birdie told us that she wrote the huge wedding episode in the upcoming season. Between Elliot and Mark. She's the host of.
I got an acting part on it too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it involves stunts, and I'm so excited.
It involves stunts?
Yes!
We have to talk about stunt people just as a little industry.
I would love to. I have like really good, I had one good moment with a lady named Mary Albee. Who taught me a lot of lessons, and she was a stunt person.
Oh my God, her last name was
so
Albie.
Quick tease to the Mary Albie
little
lessons.
Little tease, Mary Albie.
I can't wait to see how action packed this episode of Search Party is.
She's an Albie.
She's an Albie. She's Edward Albie's granddaughter.
And My Sexy Podcast. We're so happy.
And also Show and Development with Fox with the one and only Diablo Cody.
I'm
Brooke.
Writing a sitcom.
I'm writing. We love her so much. And we love Wolfie. We love her
whole
life.
Yeah. I'm a daddy type mom.
Daddy type mom. Welcome our guest,
Sabrina Jalise.
Hello, everybody. It's nice to be here.
Yes.
I feel that I'm supported if I do something like this in this type of room.
Support! And you know why we support? It's because everyone in this room, including
our producer Emma,
is part of the LGBTQ plus community.
Is in the alphabet, honey. Honey.
We're part of the LGBTQ plus community, and it is a community in which you choose your own family.
This is huge. This is historic. We have our first queer hot producer, Emma.
It's
Wait,
fabulous.
Did you kick someone out for
no,
Emma?
No, no, no.
Somebody was he has left and gone to LA.
But Emma,
what a sad way to say someone died.
Someone died. But then Emma
did to me.
We were left with in very capable hands with Emma. So we're so excited to have her. Anyway, everyone in this
room carried me up the stairs.
Carrie.
Wow.
Carrie,
that's actually kind of pathetic for you.
For me?
Yeah, because why couldn't you walk up by yourself?
I fainted. You know I faint before podcasts. God, this is like, I was like walking over here and thinking, should I say it? Because it makes me cooler if I don't say it.
You gotta say it.
But there were good celebs at the party.
Like who?
Like come on.
Should I say it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who are they?
Say it.
Okay, just like casually. And by the way, I wasn't thinking about it. But obviously everyone from Search Party. So
yeah,
good.
All those celebs.
Alia, John Reynolds, who's going to shoot a thing with Jessica Williams, obviously.
I heard about this.
They're going to go to England for 6 months to shoot it.
Six months?
6 months in England.
No way.
6 months in England.
And then Jessica is going to shoot another movie after that in England. She's just in England forever now.
Jessica is queen.
She's totally queen. But then Ellen Page casually there
with
her best friend that she does. Yes. But I didn't talk to everybody.
Oh,
but anyway,
okay.
but then I met a devil with a full red face, and I was like, it's so wild that I'll like never know what you look like in real life. That person was Tessa Thompson.
Oh my
what?
God.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I love that she just like had a good fucking weird Halloween costume.
A good weird Halloween costume.
So
that
fun.
Person was Tessa Thompson.
That person was Tessa Thompson. Who else? I mean, probably there was like directors speaking in accents. It was amazing.
Can I tell you what my instinct was that who she'd be at the party? I don't know why I think this person is super cool lately, but I know they're in Brooklyn and I felt like maybe they could have been at this party.
Yeah,
fucking Anne Hathaway. I was like, I bet Anne Hathaway was at the party. She wasn't.
Is Anne Hathaway's brother still around New York doing mics? Because when I was here.
Oh, I heard gay brother?
He wasn't out when I saw him.
There's one gay brother and then maybe there's another comedy brother.
There was a brother that was doing mics and he would casually say my sister and his last name was Hathaway and everybody knew that his sister was Anne Hathaway and it was like the biggest uphill battle for him to talk about literally anything other than Anne Hathaway. It's just like all I want to know.
Yeah.
I
sometimes think about that. It's like the siblings. Incredibly famous people.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you get around, especially when your name is something like Hathaway?
Yeah.
And I would imagine that he resembles her.
Sure.
If you could pick one person to be at the party, who would you?
Oh, great question.
With the stakes being zero because it's a party in the past that you were
in
not
in the past
at.
That we weren't.
We were supposed to be there, and then
to
we
go.
Got
there.
I think there's honestly over the past 24 hours, there's been tons of like personal failings. We failed to make it to the party. Charles failed to make it to this podcast.
I was very late to the studio as well. If I had to pick one person, oh my God, it would have been Ellen Burstyn. I wanted Ellen Burstyn to be there.
I would have loved if Monica Lewinsky was at the party.
Yes.
So I could hold her hand, look her in the eyes and say, I am apologizing on behalf of this entire nation.
I hope at least three people say that to her every day.
I think probably.
And I wonder what was it? Was it this year that people shifted?
Oh,
when
like
did people
years.
Shift?
It was 2 years ago. It was around the election. It was around 2016.
People been done shifted about Monica Lewinsky. I think we all like in the past 3 or 4 years, like it was felt bad.
It was pre-Me Too, even where everyone was like, "Oh shit, like we did her wrong."
Her TED Talk was unreal.
Her TED Talk was.
Did
great.
You see her TED Talk?
I didn't, but I feel like I know what she said and I like it.
There you go.
It was about like online bullying and she considers herself the first virally bullied person, which she may be correct about.
Okay, we're erasing Joan of Arc.
There was no internet.
there was, she was viral.
She was virally bullied?
She was virally bullied. Someone gave
what
her
are you
a virus.
About?
I think she... No, you're right. I think Monica Lewinsky is maybe that the first person, but there I feel like she is erasing some other thing.
We need
incident.
Monica Lewinsky.
I feel
on
like
the
Leilani,
bill.
If you would have done what you needed to do back in the day.
Look, I think Leilani, Leilani was this like cute half Asian, half white, like whatever, genetically.
If she's cute, she's making that name good and cute.
Leilani. I feel like Leilani is, yeah, some like R&B singer.
Leilani is something you name your kid because you think, I'm going to give them an interesting name, and oops, you gave them like the most superior, like ridiculous name.
Oh, you don't
Leilani?
Like it?
No. Leilani. No, no thanks to Leilani.
I mean, it probably means something cool in a culture, you dumb bitch. Okay, no. Leilani's a name where you're like drunken Asian spitting rice downstairs, and it's the noise it makes when the chopstick hits your head.
It Leilani. It means religious flower.
It means religious,
religious flower.
If it's religious flower, then I'm back to your side.
I'm just
not
saying.
Keep your religious flowers away from me.
Leilani gives me Kahlua.
Do you think that saying blessing gives me Kahlua?
It gives me like Leilani. It's like, it's like, you know, I don't know.
It's what in a bottle.
What are you saying about blessing?
Oh, I always want to say blessed and blessing, but I don't want anyone to think I'm religious.
To come for you.
That's my...
I think this is a struggle.
It's a true struggle because there's nothing that replaces it.
How do we dissociate?
Yeah, you're gonna come for Miss Leilani about spontaneity, and you're talking about how do we dissociate?
Yeah, but I have the mechanism, bitch to correct.
You are a bitch.
Stupid shit. How do we dissociate like religious words from religion? I want to be able to say alms without like any sort of alms.
What's that?
Like donations. Like give alms. I want to be able to say, like, use that in everyday conversation without evoking religious imagery.
I agree. I think that we...
I just want to collect some alms without being pinned as a Christian.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I also think, you remember the Christina Aguilera song, Blessed
yes.
for everything you give me. Uh-huh. I think we can't sing that anymore or else
the right will
the religious
come.
Right.
We'll say we're appropriating.
We'll say, this is us. And I'll say, No. I just feel like... Hashtag blessed has now become more associated with the millennial culture.
Yes.
And less, I guess, hashtag blessed is like the way to disassociate. But then you're like, you know, part of something that's hashtag
annoying.
Old.
Hashtag old. Hashtag so yesterday.
So yesterday.
But it's true. Like whenever someone receives an award and they say, I'm so blessed. I look around the room and people roll their eyes and I'm like, maybe they just couldn't find their non-religious word.
Because, but it is like, there's nothing like truly when I hold my little baby son, when I'm like under the big tree in our backyard, I say, I'm blessed. But I also think maybe it's not bad. Maybe that's not bad.
No.
Maybe then the blessing that it is obviously attached to something, but then let's just maybe shift God into the universe. Like, you know, like that, do that thing.
Right.
Where it's like, you know, it's crystals, it's love, it's trees.
It
it's
could be anything.
Universe,
I think that people sometimes choose to say, the universe gave me this instead of like, thank God. And also, I feel like it's all kooky.
It's all kooky.
Yeah.
But there is some like linguistic thing where it's like you have the word, you have the concept, and it doesn't mean something. It doesn't sound kooky, but it still means that same thing. Where it's
right.
Like,
but when you say I thank the universe, you are thanking. "Quote unquote God,"
I think the world is fun, right? I think the world.
I've got a good replacement for an awkward thing that you can't say the R word. You can't be like, oh my God, they're being so right. You can't do that.
You can't.
Is it Urdu?
It's an Urdu replacement. My father's Pakistani, Urdu replacement. It's Lalu.
Lalu.
Oh my God, Lalu.
And then what does it mean? What does it mean in Urdu? Literally,
it's like. I don't think that it means
the R word. If it means the R word, then you can't get away with it.
No, it doesn't. It just means like someone who's just...
Lalu is the title of this episode. Lalu.
Lalu Leilani.
Lalu Leilani.
Oh, it wasn't. It was too soon to bring her back, but she was giving us Kahlua. When a girl gives you Kahlua, you invite her back in the room prematurely.
There was a character named Kahlua in Bridesmaids, and I thought it was the funniest name. The other girl that worked at the jewelry store that Kristen Wiig worked at, they were like, he was like, look at Kahlua. Look how she stands. I'm like, that girl is Kahlua.
My favorite thing to do in writing a script is give wacky
names.
Yeah, just like for no reason, not explained. It's just Isiadora. That's who it is.
Isiadora.
Kahlua was also the name of Rachel Dratch's character in the America's Next Top Model sketch.
Kahlua, yes.
That James Anderson wrote. And James Anderson is the master of names. Tia Mornings.
Tia Mornings.
Beginnings Chang.
I love Tia Mornings.
Tia Mornings, truly.
I don't know it.
It's very dumb.
I don't know it.
It's an old sketch.
Fun other proud names. Is Isadora that just now?
Isadora.
Love that. Who came up with Wolfie?
Shauna had a dream 8 years ago and woke up, and she's, you know, like hyper mystical lady.
Yes.
And she was like, our kid's name is going to be Wolfie.
Full and name, Wolfie?
Wolfie, yeah.
I love that.
And and I also had been like meditating on that name since I was young, because I always had a crush on Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Uh-huh.
But then on Party of Five, Scott Wolf would have sex with her. So I did the thing. Did you guys do that where you like have a crush on the guy that's having sex, the girl that's having sex with the guy that you have?
Oftentimes, yes.
So I was like, I love Scott Wolf when he's kissing her. I love to kiss him.
Scott Wolf actually is so hot though, and we've forgotten that.
I bumped into him in an airport. And, was...
and you were like, I used to rub it confusedly to you, sir.
I used to not touch myself because I said I was busy, but thought about you with the kiss.
Scott
but
Wolf!
I wanted the boobs of love.
The boobs of love.
I would really just picture her hugging. I would have fantasies of like, we would go to Cancun, the specific one fantasy that I would just be like, and play. Just play on the VHS. And the ribbons would turn and we would be laying by the pool. And, you know, people would come and recognize her and talk to her, but we would not have time for them. Cute boys would hit on us, but we would be too busy with our friendship. And
still platonic at this point.
Yeah, still platonic. I was in my mind, I was like, it just would be the friendship of a lifetime.
Yeah.
Down to like her holding, I would picture her holding me and the way her breasts would feel against my body.
Yeah.
And I was just like, we would be buddies.
Yeah, we would be friends. I used to do the same. Sometimes I would... It's true, like, especially at that age, when you're at that young age where you're like, you don't get to just, I mean, you can't just go out and be a little hoe like I am often now. Like, the touch of another was just such a rare thing. So I would just remember I would hug my male friends and like be like, oh.
The touch of another.
The touch of another.
Oh my God, that's another good title.
Yeah, the touch of another.
There should just be.
Slay.
There should just be gay schools, right? Like, schools were just queer. It's all queer schools where culturally it's fine to just like everyone at the dance.
There would be so much.
Hold on.
Emphasis on sex.
I guess.
You're saying you want segregation.
A little bit. Yeah, I want.
You
I
want sexual
but equal.
Segregation.
I want separate but equal. Like I think. I think when it comes to queer folks, it should be like. Because isn't this the thing where our growth is, my sexual growth is stunted, and it's what you're saying, where it's like, if you just had that access at an earlier age.
Yeah, the
you
world
feel like
would
you're like playing out high school loves later.
Yeah, just maybe in a way, yeah. But also just you're getting, it's to scale. It's to like, it's separate but equal. It's like you're getting.
Well, I don't know.
Like, if your kid is gay, do you want them to go to a school of only gay people?
No.
Because I think diversity, mixing it up is the key to the goody.
There you go. Okay,
you know?
Fine. I'm having this little thought experiment in my head about like what that would look like.
Get this, though.
What?
It is different nowadays because my friend is a middle school health teacher.
Yeah.
She texted me the other day and she said that one of her students like low-key came out to her in a project.
Love that.
And she went to go speak to his counselor, and the counselor was like, oh, it's good that he's saying that because like he wasn't there like last year when apparently he brought up some things about potentially maybe thinking about self-harm and things like that.
Okay.
I think that, but I feel like seventh grade is fucking early.
Yeah, because even kids that like will eventually identify as straight don't really know what the issue or like one of the big things about realizing you're gay is like, we all, obviously, everybody listening to this knows this, but like everything's fluid.
Yeah. Yes.
We all land somewhere, and everybody is learning that. And people are learning, like straight identifying people are learning what they like in a partner way late too, because we're all marketed these weird ass, like, it's a Barbie, it's a Ken, it's a lumberjack and man, it's a thing a little doodle, it's the perfect little guy, frosty tips, little abs in the little it's like the, you know, these catchphrase things that you like see that you're like, that's the way I will do, like even just the way I placed myself as Scott Wolf to love Jennifer Love Hewitt, it's like
it's so
all just like these
refracted in these
binary
different ways.
Vote sis. Thinner is better. It's Pretty Hurts.
It's very Pretty Hurts.
Pretty Hurts.
Even like fucking Matt was just lamenting Anthony popping up on his feed. It's like, well, that is something that is being fed to you in this
way. Anthony popped up on my feed, and every time Anthony from Grey pops up on my feed, I get so angry at my own penis. Because I'm like, stop it! Like, it's just like, every time it gets me, he's so fucking hot.
He's so hot.
And every time.
He's Canadian, too.
So hot.
Canadian.
It's so Canadian.
I'm Canadian.
Canadian.
Yeah.
Canadian. We didn't talk about this in Montreal.
Montreal.
You're Toronto, I'm Montreal, right?
Oh, yeah. Cool.
I was just in Toronto and it was fun as fuck.
Toronto's such a good city.
Toronto's a great
city. I mean,
city.
That's where we're going to run away to if the things happen.
That's the okay.
But we won't run away. We'll try to make everything better, obviously.
Of course.
But like,
we'll
if we
fight.
Have to run away.
I thought about Toronto as a place to run away.
I mean, oh, wait till you see Vancouver, baby.
We're going to Vancouver next
year. But like, don't you think that Toronto's where you live?
Where I live? I actually see myself more in Montreal. Toronto feels a little too Midwest, right? I mean, that's
really?
I'm not saying that pejoratively.
Oh my God.
I'm not saying that pejoratively.
I don't even know what pejorative is.
I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm saying like, actually, no, Toronto is actually great because Niagara Falls is right there.
She's out. She is leaving, honey. She's putting on her big ass.
We will do the jingles.
She's putting her boots on and fucking going. She's gonna
get a boot that is a scarf.
Get out of here.
It's a boot with the top that has a scarf on it, guys.
No, wait. I don't. I think I'm more. I'm just. More
I mean, everybody loves their hometown.
That's what it is.
Some people, it's a spectrum. You fall somewhere between Montreal and Toronto. It's a spectrum.
You know, my first love with Montreal. Oh, I already told you this in Montreal, and I don't want to talk about it, but
wait,
I do that. I like had my first girlfriend was in Montreal.
From Montreal.
Yeah, wow. And I would like take a Greyhound from Toronto to Montreal. No one would know. I would be secretly gay in Montreal, and then. Hoop earrings back in Toronto.
The hoop earrings were the marker.
Actually, the hoop earrings carried into the first zone of me being gay. I was like wearing mini skirts, hoop earrings, and had butcher girlfriend, and something didn't feel right.
Butcher girlfriend? A butch girlfriend.
Yeah, like I was in the back of the motorcycle.
Yeah.
Feeling like I just want to drive it.
Yeah. I want to hold the bars, not your waist. I want to hold the bars, please.
Please.
No, not please.
Give me the bars.
Okay, you guys, this is Matt, and I had to get on here, and there's no gun to my head right now. I just had to get on here and tell you that I am so obsessed with everything I just got from Everlane. You guys, I'm actually wearing right now, Emma the producer can see me in my rugby shirt that I'm wearing. It's a dark olive and white striped shirt. I am obsessed. The denim jeans that I got, I have these like skinny like blue jeans on right now. It's just this, they nailed it. And my favorite item of clothing I got from them was this like dark denim jacket. You have to go to Everlane and you have to shop there because all this stuff is truly amazing. And also, Everlane only makes premium essentials using the finest materials without traditional markups. And they tell you their real actual cost so you know you're never overpaying. Everlane wants you to know what you're paying for and why. They're radically transparent about every step in their process, from the materials they use to the ethical factories they work with. And because Everlane sells directly to you, their prices are 30 to 50% lower than traditional retailers. Everlane's clothes look better, cost less, and last longer. Essentials like their Cotton Crew t-shirt are exactly what they should be. They're simple, they're stylish, and they're made from quality materials. Now, I want to tell you about some stuff that I got. The Cashmere Crew. Oh my God. I got this like black cashmere sweater. It just feels so good on me. The Twill Weekender bag I got with a matching backpack. I got like in a dark gray with like a black leather. Oh my God. I'm truly so excited. I'm wearing the clothes right now, and I texted Bowen. I was like, did you get your stuff from Everlane? And he's like, oh my God, not yet. But we were very gagged when it came. It came in such a nice box too. It was also laid out. I'm truly, truly upset that it's so cold in New York right now because all I want to do is wear this denim jacket. I'm really obsessed with it. I've never had a denim jacket, you guys. And so now I have one anyway. I'm excited, and you can be excited too if you go to everlane.com/dingdong, and plus you'll get free shipping on your first order. That's everlane.com/dingdong. everlane.com/dingdong.
But I wanted to, before we run too far away from Wolfie, tell you this amazing magic thing,
yes.
Which is that so she had this dream 8 years ago. Our kid's name is Wolfie. when we didn't know how we were going to make our kid. We were just like sort of scoping things out, asking questions about adoption, asking questions about our friends that conceived.
Yep.
And Shauna gets sick in Sayulita, Mexico when we're on vacation. I take a surf lesson and my instructor is this gorgeous angel that, like, if I was casting the male me in the movie.
Oh my God, Jeffrey Self told us about this.
It was just incredible. So I met him.
Yeah.
We drank mezcal after.
Uh-huh.
Started chatting. His dad is a police chief. His mom is a chemist. He is an amazing, just like chill
person.
Soul picks up like a piece of garbage casually on the beach, keeps walking. I'm just like, I want your sperm. Like, yeah. I'm just like,
and you knew it was him.
Yearning for that. Yeah. And I knew it was him. And then I asked Shauna. Shauna's like, you're crazy. She meets him in a second. She's like, you can ask him.
Whoa.
And then so I take another lesson and I ask him in the water, and in the water I see, as we're going out for the first time, on his back is a tattoo of a wolf.
Shut up.
And
that
not
is
only
the universe,
my
bitch.
Arms yes. are up. My arms are up. Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, you raised that.
The crop of the wolf, the like face of the wolf and the style is exactly the same as a year before, same time we're taking a vacation in Palm Springs, and our friends happen to be there. We do like a joke Christmas present exchange, mm-hmm. and they give us a plate that has a wolf on it. They know nothing about this like wolf plan. And in the corner it says mom, like someone had drawn it for their mom. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Wow. That's fucking crazy.
The same crop.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow. Okay, so then you
asked
him.
I've got to take a picture just to have it on the ready of the plate, the thing. The tattoo.
You need that. You need to put it in like a little
make
book.
It a fucking triptych.
Because honestly, yeah. like that's like some shit.
And today I'm getting a tattoo of a wolf.
That's some universal. Wait, God,
my
or
first tattoo. I'm getting
really
tattoo.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh my God.
These are fake tattoos from last night. I was dressed up as Shauna, but I'm getting a tattoo right here. It'll be a wolf, a girl, and then on top a little owl.
Oh my God.
It's a big tattoo.
Are you nervous about it?
I'm very nervous, but I'm playing it cool.
Yeah.
It's like you got to be like, when people are like, aren't you nervous to get on stage in front of all those people? It's like, nah, bitch. But then you're like, you know, you look through your set list.
There
right,
you
of course.
I don't give a shit.
And then you're
absolutely
like, what?
Not.
Do
yeah.
I know any of my jokes?
Oh my God. But yet, okay, so you ask him.
Get up there and I'll riff.
Oh, just riff. You ask him for his sperm. What's his reaction?
Beautiful. It's just like all meant to be. Like, it's in the water, and it's felt the same way like when I saw Shauna and I knew that she was important in my life.
Oh,
and you
my
know,
God.
Like, it's just like you see someone and you're like, this is the stakes could not be higher.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, this is like, and in meet, like, when you want to meet someone and you want to like come off as, or like, you know, you want to come off as chill, but what you're asking or what you want is so big.
So not chill.
Yeah. So not chill.
So funny.
Be my daddy.
Surfing lessons are also the most
intimate.
Harrowing, fraught. Okay. Oh, but I guess was it one-on-one?
It was one-on-one.
Love
yeah.
Okay, great.
Because what I pictured was like Blue Crush, like Michelle Rodriguez will be like on the waves together, just like high-fiving. And it'll be like, you know, tip your nose up. And I'll be like, I can't hear you over the waves,
yeah,
babe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what it is it's a lot of like standing in the water. You're laying on top of the board. He's holding the nose of the board and looking at the ocean and looking into your eyes and waiting to like release you into the right wave at the
very
right time.
Intimate,
and it's very much like bringing up this like big thing
out
of nowhere. You're waiting for like the right conversational energy to be like, and this is me, I'm getting up on the board of what I'm asking you, you know?
Wow.
Oh my God.
So I said, I want to ask you something, and I don't feel any pressure. This is maybe going to be a strange thing, and I've never asked anyone this before. But you know, like my wife and I would like to have a baby, and we were wondering if you would be interested in helping us.
Wow.
And he looked at me and he smiled and he was like, that sounds interesting. He's like, I don't know how that works, but you guys are a beautiful couple. And if I can help you, then that sounds interesting.
Oh my God. What a scene.
So then I just like took the next wave in and ran up to Shauna. I was like,
oh my God, wait, for real though? That was like the...
I ran up to Shauna.
Oh my God.
Told her, ran back and, you know, like did a couple more waves.
Yeah, yeah.
waves. It was just like you know, like in my mind putting together prototypes of like how to get the jizz inside Shauna.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I also knew nothing about ovulation. I knew nothing about the process.
Right.
So I was just like running to bodegas in Sayulita, like emptying tampons, like trying to like will the applicator work? Yeah. Or like taking a dish glove and like cutting the thumb. That was my like best prototype. And then duct taping it and then cutting a hole. I didn't know also how little sperm came out of it. Pain. I thought like I'd be piping icing into Shauna. Just like,
so what? how did it work?
The way that it actually did work was, no, we did it ourselves. And this is like, I want to talk about it all the time because I want people to know.
Yeah, please, no, please talk about it.
Like, that you can try this. I know that like no one is entitled to like a specific birth path,
but
gay or straight. Yeah, it's like you just sort of like wiggle into whatever door opens. Mm-hmm. But basically we just calculated Shauna's ovulations, went back to Mexico, and he came into a sterile cup. Shauna made like an altar in our Airbnb. He came into the, no, that wasn't the order. He came into the cup. Shauna makes this
makes
altar.
The altar around
Finish
the cup.
Finish the altar, babe.
And also she was doing the jack off motion when she said came into the cup. Just so everyone knows.
Just so everyone
knows. He came into a cup. Like you do.
And then he leaves. I put it into a sterile syringe, like needle without a needle. Put that in my arm, under my armpit. And like so it stays warm. Shauna and I made love.
Yep.
I put the sperm inside of her. So orgasm to get warm and wet inside,
and then
sperm, and then orgasm again to
for
good luck, and because I'm an excellent lover.
Oh, yes, yeah. Babe.
Under pressure?
Yeah. That's when I prefer it. There better be something exploding around me.
And then, you
I can
know,
only
we made
come with the threat of death.
Baby.
And that's when I take out the syringe.
And the blessings came, and the Lord loved it.
And the Lord was like,
yep.
And the Lord and the universe and the world, we're all like, we all agree, right, hon?
I accept the recipe.
That's amazing.
Right? Wow. And then the first time we did that, she got pregnant.
Amazing.
Wow.
Gorgeous.
It was truly gorgeous. And we got to when we went back, we got to spend a lot of time with him.
Yeah, so you kept in touch with him.
Yeah, he's actually coming to visit in a few weeks with his girlfriend who we met in the water, weeks after we met him.
Amazing. Has he met Wolfie yet?
Yeah.
He has not, but we've FaceTimed. Actually, his mom is flying in too for Thanksgiving.
So what's what do you feel like his relationship is to,
I think it's like he's his biological
father,
but he's not his parental father.
Right, of course.
I feel like more of the parental father. Wolfie's going to call me Baba, which
I love that.
Fordu for Urdu. Dad.
Yes, gorgeous.
Lalu Baba.
Lalu Baba.
I kind of love that as a title.
Lalu Baba sounds so cute. we'll just see what the flow of the ocean is in terms of there's no pressure on him to be anything,
right,
but
he
definitely, I think just the way the puzzle pieces fit together is kind of perfect, where
so
he wants to be around, and that's perfect for the way we want Wolfie, to understand this amazing story and how intentional and how magic.
That's beautiful.
And from the ocean he is.
It really is.
He is from the ocean.
That's
The crazy thing is the day that I asked him, because after Shauna was like, you can ask him, it wasn't like, it's on. It was like, okay, this is still a crazy thing. I'm just still in crazy town. The chances of someone being super receptive to this wild kind of proposition is...
You have no way of knowing.
No way of knowing.
It's not even that it's small or big. It's that you have no way of knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had one last day and we were supposed to go out on this deep sea fishing trip. And so that would have kind of taken our day and the chances of bumping into him. Mm. Anyways, the trip got canceled because the ocean was too rocky.
Oh.
And so as we were walking back from that canceled boat trip on this only time that we could lock this in, he was walking out to go teach a lesson, and I was like, can I take one after?
So that's amazing.
That's tell the story all the time.
Yeah, I want to write a movie about it.
I was gonna say,
you
okay,
really
great.
Should, or it sounds like at least maybe even a limited series television, because
or like
very
a
popular.
webisode,
or this is also a book, or
not to like draw
pamphlet?
This not
a graphic novel,
a graphic novel, not to draw the straight line, but it feels like that is also fully in Diablo's wheelhouse too. This kind of story, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it's so cool.
Yeah,
so cool.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, tonally, she does these honest. I always refer to, did we talk about Diablo on the podcast?
No, we briefly talked about her before
we did.
Record.
But we did
We just spoke about it, but we haven't talked about her so the listeners can know. We were saying that, like, it's true. She really, Tully is one I haven't seen. And you were talking about how it's so great to, like, be able to see this movie that really
depicts, like, just that shot. It was in the preview, but the shot of the breast milk bag, like, just slowly falling. It's, like, just, like, a thing that means so much. To an audience, too, that is just, like, it's wild that, I mean, like, gay stories about women, it is so exciting for us right now because we're at, like, just this forefront. Actually, when I saw you guys in Montreal and you were having so much fun, it was, like, just this heart, like, this, like, you know, it's just amazing and wild to think, but it is kind of we're at the forefront of, like, just being able to, like, celebrate and be received in that way and not be, like, pigeonholed into a thing, but just, like, you know, like, not be having to be conscious of how gay or not gay are.
Yeah. I think now whenever I notice how gay I am, I'm like, oh, that's weird. Whereas I used to notice how gay I was all the time. Like, I used to feel other.
And the verdict around it was, I'm being so gay, fuck.
Yes.
But now it's like, oh, okay, cool, I'm being gay.
Yeah, now it's like, it's honestly, it's cool for that to be the thing that people like about what you do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, just that you're just intrinsically playing in your truth. Yes, nice. Because I think, I mean, when I was younger too, I started stand up when I was 16, and there was this, it was more about race, but it was the exact same thing of, like, being conscious of, like, how brown am I being and what, you know, like, how much race stuff am I doing? Yeah. And it's just like you get older, wiser, and develop as an artist, and you realize, like, oh, all of that shit, none of that shit mattered at all. It was always just like, how me am I being?
Yeah.
And how honest about what I actually want to be talking about on stage. That's, like, all I.
Yeah.
For me, like, I would rather watch anyone just talk about truthfully what they feel on stage.
Absolutely. Than.
And so in Montreal, the thing, I don't, they're not to name any names or anything, but, like, there is just, like, because of the way things worked, like, even when I started stand up, it was just, like, inescapable that gay acts would have to, there was just, like, a pain. There was, like, a pain that was there that is just, like, I feel like not, it's like
that it's still there.
You guys, us, we are here in this, like, new era where it's, like,
it's really fun.
Yeah.
It feels like it only just happened over the past 3 or 4 years, too.
Yeah.
And that's something I always.
When Monica Lewinsky did her TED Talk.
Yeah. I was going to say that was the moment. I was like, this is a queer moment. but what's interesting about it, though, is it's like I always tell people, like, it's crazy how much has changed in a short period of time. Because if you even go back, like, 5 years, six years, like, which doesn't seem too long ago, but so much shit has changed. Yeah. Like, I really feel like, and we talked about this a lot with Mateo, actually, when he did our show, like, how Mateo had, like, a little relationship with Joel because they never got to see each other because they never were booked on the same shows. You know what
because
I mean?
There was,
like,
they were just the one of,
yeah,
and
the people
one
would
the
never
lineup.
Book both. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And I, just like how that's sort of changed a little bit over the past. Like, now when I see a bill, I'm like, I'm so embarrassed for people that put these lineups together if there's not, like, more than one, like, because it used to be like, wow, there's no woman on this list. Now it's like, if I see one woman on the list, I'm like, seriously? Like, when I see the cast of, like, a movie and there's one woman, I'm like, I'm not watching any movie where there's one woman. I'm sorry, I'm not. I don't care what the story is, I don't care what the situation is, what you're depicting. Just not interested.
Natalie Portman did some speech recently. It was for, like, it wasn't for the Human Rights Campaign, it might have been, where she was like, you should be embarrassed. Like, this is how things should be going forward. You should be embarrassed if you have, like, some homogenous cast or some homogenous group of whatever. Like, be embarrassed. This is humiliating.
You know, that's kind of how I feel about the movie First Man. Like, the Neil Armstrong movie.
Yeah.
I heard it's a great movie, but I'm not interested in seeing it because Claire Foy is the only woman in it. And like... It has nothing to do with whether or not the movie is good. It's just like, I've seen this story so many times.
Yeah.
And like, I
man,
and also
man going into space, put upon wife. Yeah.
You know what? And
oh my God, the put upon
done...
wife is just, it's from that shooter movie too. It's from like every time a man is doing like the big hero thing and the woman is like, you're gonna do what?
Right, it's Jennifer.
How far is space? It's like, bitch, this has been a
How far is space?
Will you be home for dinner? Or I have to stir this pot by myself, of course.
Also the thing, like, what am I gonna tell our children? It's like, well, this also is a fucking stupid question, because if it was you going out there, would you want your husband saying the same thing to you? It's like, this writing is dumb. Yep. Like, these are not the kinds of questions people ask. Like,
and like, if a cool badass space dude is gonna marry a cool badass Earthling lady, like, give your male hero more credit.
There you go.
I feel like,
but these were actually, you know, like, to tie it back to the roles and the way that we like envision like our mates and what our life will look like. Yeah. It's like, these were the options. These were the menu items before. Mm-hmm. And now it's like amazing to say, like, yeah, it's obvious that this is like an old way of thinking. Mm-hmm. These are like old. And there's like, there's so many people in TV writing, for like old school people, that are like, oh, back in the day, you used to make $100 million an episode, and now we've got these, you know, $1 million a year situations. And it's like, bitch, you're rich. Like, and now there's more people making more money.
Right.
That's good. That's, you know, like a show like Search Party can exist, and it doesn't have to draw, you know, 40 million people. Everyone doesn't have to like the same thing, but like, let's get more menu items going. Totally.
It's so
that.
Great.
Menu items.
And also, there's very few things I hate than the phrase like back in the day, like, or like when I was young. It's like that Megyn Kelly bullshit of like, when I was young, you used to be able to do this and it wasn't a big deal. It's like, just
put your red hat on and walk.
Right. Just because something is nostalgic to you doesn't mean it was right. It doesn't make you like tougher or braver. Totally. Like when old white guys say, well, back in my day, it's like, that actually doesn't make you tougher. It makes you more limited.
Sure. Yeah. And I'm just always worried that we're going to fall into that trap someday too, of like, well
we're conscious
of
it. I
already feel like when people talk about polyamory, I am like the right way. I'm like
conservative.
Sure.
Which is fine, I guess. I mean, like,
I just think I haven't personally seen people, gay men can do it well. That's a generalization.
But yes. Yeah.
But I see successful couples.
Yeah.
Right.
Playing in that way. But I have not really seen it be.
And to generalize, it is. I mean, yeah.
And I wonder what it is about. I wonder what it is, because it's like, yes,
it's my own fear.
Well, I think that it's our own fear. It's also like, again, I do think it is like the patriarchy and traditionalism eking in, which I think none of us can deny that it does eke in, and it does affect our choices subconsciously.
It eeks
and it irks. It jerks, it plurks.
It's Lalu.
It quirks.
It's Lalu.
It's
Lalu. Lalu. Lalu.
It's very Lalu. It's one of the most Lalu things about life. But I also think like gay male sexuality, I think, is, and male sexuality.
Did you say
about
life?
About life.
About life.
About life.
About life.
About life.
But gay male sexuality and male sexuality, I think, is just different than, and then you involve female sexuality in it, and I do think there are differences in the two. I'm not like well versed enough in both to like talk about why that is, but it feels like in a heterosexual relationship, not only do you have like the traditional like and the patriarchy kind of creeping in psychologically, but also there's got to be something there that maybe because it's more like intimate and connective, like the actual, like, I don't know what it is.
But then, Sabrina, for you, for a gay female relationship,
yeah,
like, is that, does that go against like generalizations people make about how it's so monogamous, how those are so like unusually monogamous
and passionately like emotional? That's like, I guess, like the stereotype about like lesbians is like, yeah, it's like we look each other in the eyes and it's always like that. Whereas gay men are like, yeah, we came, now we can go do it with someone else. Like, what is it?
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess we can be conscious now, as after we just had this conversation, of like, we get it. No. I want to just put it out there that like, gender fluidity,
right,
everything, everyone, like, I do think that like in a future world, if we really really like trust fell back into openness and truth, we could be in relationships with each other.
Totally.
You know, like gay men, gay women, like just like I do think that halves, two halves make a whole in this way that oftentimes mm-hmm. like when I was saying that I was like on the back of the motorcycle wanting to grab the poles, it's like I am like, I'm in that moment, I'm basically, I'm like, it's kind of like a two butches don't make a right type
right.
attitude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think that there's, you know, like there's also, there's nothing wrong with just things become traditional
yes.
and things, patterns repeat themselves.
Sure.
And that's like, you know, at the end of the day, when we go to the airport, one of us needs to carry the bags, you know, and it's
yeah,
not like
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
dying to carry the heavy bags,
yeah,
but
yeah.
it's like, I'm the butcher one, so I will do it.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then when it came time to carry a baby, it's like, bitch, get those hips cracking to the fam
get
one.
Those hips cracking.
And it's like, and so we get to like go on family vacations because uh-huh. we're all doing our roles.
Love
yeah.
that. Love that.
I think that like, you're right about like, if we trust fell into what we truth, like what you're saying, like if we all actually like let ourselves be attracted to what we're all really attracted to, everyone would be fucking, their minds would be blown.
Sure.
Like if we all were just like,
yeah,
really let everything go and allowed ourselves, and maybe that's like impossible, but to just do that, it would be crazy.
Yeah. Really, and then at the same time, I think it's like when it comes to, maybe there's a thing about polyamory or openness that is like, to me, it's like, I'm like so, I feel so lucky to be with my wife
mm-hmm.
and I feel like I got a really good, you know, deal.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
like I exchange rated myself to like a really awesome, great person, hot, sweet, connected
winner.
Win, like such a great, that I don't want to like go back into the market and be
right.
like, yeah, you grab something, I'll grab something, I'll meet you back here at noon. It's like, I'm terrified. I come back at noon and there's like just a harem of people around her and like one weirdo that won't leave me alone.
This is my sexual community now.
You grab something, I grab something.
I'm just like with someone that I like felt bad for and like I've been talking to for 4 hours and she's been fucking
there you go.
Every cool model.
Wow, that's real.
I don't know. Well, my boyfriend and I, ex-boyfriend, we tried being open and it did not work.
It
and
seems complicated.
I felt frustrated because I was like, why does this work for everyone else? But then I also think there is like the projection. Not, I think everyone, not to say that there aren't some open relationships that are just seamless and good for you.
Yeah.
If that's true. But like,
yeah.
I think there's struggles in every relationship that we don't all necessarily hear about.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so it probably adds a layer of complication regardless.
Yes,
totally.
It's another thing to manage.
And the mental model of success in a polyamorous relationship or in an open relationship, mm-hmm. which is, I guess, is different. But
oh, yeah,
it doesn't really exist. I mean, it's
the witch model.
Like when you hear Monique talk about how, like, yes, my husband and I are open and it's been great,
mm-hmm.
like, you don't really know what, like, to the public, that isn't, like, you don't, like, or to me, let's say, to the layperson, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, like, is it great in that no one gets jealous?
Right.
Is it great in that you are also connected with other people now?
Right,
is it like,
right.
is it great in that you guys haven't fought
but
about
the
it?
The parameters,
right.
I think the thing, uh-huh. the reason we're having this discussion in the first place is because the parameters aren't set in general for everybody anyway. Is that
right.
people are just making up their own.
I will say that was
limits.
The most difficult thing about being in the open relationship is agreeing on the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, I think, I guess, so then rather than say, like, it works for gay men, it's, like, it's got to be two people who have supremely mastered their security.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
and communicating that to each other. Which
yeah,
is like,
or the other
so
thing is, like, I think being a part of something together, I'm not saying that, like, in my life, I'm like, so narrow that I'm, like, you know, if Shauna and I were, like, in Paraguay,
uh-huh.
you know, or like we're like off away and there's someone with that like doesn't have an Instagram,
yes.
is so hot,
yeah.
and wants us both equally.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, let's do, you know, like I'm not,
sure,
that's
right.
that seems like a safe.
Someone in Paraguay. Took us far away and we fucked.
Totally.
A different way.
For sure. Did you mention off the mic, off the air? That you had this stunt moment in
oh
I'm,
yeah, I wanna...
I'm shooting it tomorrow.
Oh, you're shooting it tomorrow.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you have an acting role in the wedding episode of Search
yes,
Party.
Yes, and I have a stunt double that I can't wait to meet.
Okay,
and you wrote the wedding
episode.
You wrote the episode.
I wrote the episode. Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
This is incredible. Okay, so did you know that you were going to be performing the stunt of the role that
you
wrote?
No, they didn't. I read it at the table, but then they didn't tell me till last week, and I'm so happy.
Oh,
okay,
wait. Congrats.
I can't believe this episode gets physical.
I love it. Don't tell us anything.
So
don't
much
tell
happens.
Specific.
This season is so fucking good.
I can't wait.
I've been writing on shows for the past few years now, and like writing on Search Party. Just such a dream to write on a show that I watched.
Yes.
Because I came in on the third season for the first time and just like be a part of like playing with the dolls of the story is just good.
And it's such a good, they're such good dolls.
Oh, they're such good dolls. And Charles and SV who created it, like just know, you know, the world of the show and they know what they want. And that was like so special because I'd been working in network where it's like, there's like so much pressure and so many people telling you kind of what the story is that oftentimes it gets lost, you know, it's like the story's that way. And it's like, why did we even step on stage to tell the story?
Charles and SV are perfect.
Charles and SV are perfect. And
Lily in the room?
Lily's in the room. Lily's having a baby soon.
I know.
Really?
Lily Burns is having a baby.
I didn't know Lily was having a baby.
It's all over her.
It's like bursting through her belly and soon through somewhere.
Oh, wait. Now I'm actually remembering vividly. Yes, I do know this.
Yeah. She is truly the best. Like the coolest, smartest.
Yeah, very cool. Very smart. Fun to be part of.
Fun to be good.
Your bitch is in the fourth episode.
Matt Rogers.
Yes.
Tiny part.
First season, this is such a weird thing to be obsessed over, but I just loved the promo art styles.
I love it.
Where the first season was like Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew. Yes. Second season was Hitchcock. You don't have to tell me. I can't wait for what the third.
When does it premiere? When does it start?
I don't know. We don't know. I think they've got one more month left of shooting.
Because I remember last year it started
around this time.
But it seems like, you guys are.
Well, I'll try and do some editing after this. Just get to
work because we want it sooner rather than later.
Thank you. The second season is so fucking good.
Oh my God,
The show is so great.
Let's face it, Matt. Nobody likes going to the doctor.
It can be inconvenient.
It can be very inconvenient. You have to take time off work and drive across town to talk to a stranger, essentially, about your most intimate needs.
And sometimes they can get intimate.
And they can get intimate.
Yeah.
Yes, the needs. While being poked and prodded and feeling judged.
But luckily, there's PlushCare. Using PlushCare is a great way to discuss with a trained physician whether Truvada or PrEP is right for you. You probably already know, guys, that Truvada for PrEP is over 98% effective in preventing HIV. And now you can get PrEP from the comfort of your own home. And we want to just make sure that everyone knows you should always be using PrEP in conjunction with a condom.
Yes, it's actually rule of culture number 72.
You should always be using PrEP in conjunction with a condom.
PlushCare lets you see a doctor quickly via video from your phone or computer. And most major insurance is accepted. So you pay your usual copay and appointments are available every 15 minutes.
There is a reason why PlushCare is the largest online provider of Truvada in the U.S. They will also be working with your insurance to get your medications covered or help you find a cost assistance program.
Getting Truvada is simple. Go to plushcare.com/prep today or search PlushCare, one word, on the App Store. Book a 15-minute appointment and pick up from your local pharmacy.
Use the promo code DINGDONG for $30 off your next appointment. Again, that's the promo code DINGDONG for $30 off your next appointment. So visit plushcare.com/prep today and you can use the promo code DINGDONG, DINGDONG, for $30 off your next appointment. So wait, okay, so the stunt, have you met with the stunt double? You have not.
I have not, but let me just tell you about Mary Albee so I don't give away anything about the episode. Because I feel like I can't tell you what my character does.
Okay.
But I met, so back in the day, when did you leave Canada?
Oh, like a long time ago, like 99.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So a little bit after that, when I began, I guess it was like probably, I was 19 years old. I'm 33 now. So that many years ago. I was the host of a kids show on YTV called In Real Life.
Oh my God, we were on YTV?
Yeah. And it was three seasons of like running around North. It was like Amazing Race, but for kids.
Oh, I love it.
And one episode, they learned how to be stunt doubles on Paramount Lot.
I love it.
And I met this lady, Mary Albee.
Wait, so you met her back then?
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay. Go, sorry.
Do you guys do any editing of music? Because I feel like this would be like a good place for like, the Mary Albee moment. Tease.
We'll put it in.
We'll cut that in.
Okay, good.
Tease.
And we're back.
Sabrina, tell us more about Mary.
First, raise your expectations, because I'm getting nervous about how good the conversation was. Basically, we were having lunch and she taught me about, like, she's like, look, this is a crazy industry. You got to diversify your investments. She had an avocado farm and she invested in real estate. But I really, that stuck in my head. Yeah. And then
And then now she's fucking, she's your stunt double.
She is.
I thought you were saying Mary Albee was doing stunts for you for tomorrow.
I was out till 4 a.m. and I literally.
I thought you literally like, had met this woman years ago.
I know. I met this woman in the 80s, like way back in
in the 80s. Yeah.
In real life.
I met her in real life on the show In Real Life. It's not, now that I'm saying it, it's like not a good story. Like she literally told me to buy an avocado farm. I didn't buy one. So it's not like, and looking back.
But you
back,
always remember that.
It's like, I remember it.
Anyway, stunts.
Oh my God. I really, wasn't that also like, I wasn't even invited on the show yet. And I was like, Mary Albee. I don't even know if that's her real name. Shit.
Mary Albee.
Oh my God.
I mean, the thing about stunts is it's like,
have I ever done a stunt?
I've only worked with stunt doubles on stunt people on Broad City, because people that I like, these two women who are fighting at this pop-up sale were these stunt women, and one of them had to claw me in the face, but they were just catching, like, they know it's such a small industry where everyone knows each other. It's like, think of like how incestuous people say comedy is, but it's like, no, it's like, scale it down even more. It's like, that's the stunt industry.
And maybe if it's like the Olympics, they all have sex with each other.
I hope
just to
so.
Add a little sex to
wait,
the
wait, I think about
sex
that
to
all
the mic
the time.
After my
like,
big
I think about like all the Olympic athletes fucking, and it really drives me
it's all
wild.
I do it's all it's I do
remember oh I remember yeah. During London someone told me, Yoni Lotan told me, he was like, have you heard about this Grindr?
I'm so horny for them.
Just so many athletes. Cartwheels in their sex.
Grindr what?
Like in London in 2012, like there was this, like Grindr traffic was spiked in London at the Olympic Village because
yes.
all these athletes were fucking each other.
And there were so many gay athletes.
There's so many gay athletes just fucking.
Okay.
And that's all I've been able to think about. When the Olympics roll on, I'm like, oh, they're all. All
they're
these
all
gay men
each
are
other. They're all inside
in
each
perfect
other.
Bodies are fucking each
I know
other
right it's now. So wild.
Let's do a competition, and okay. then your listeners have to vote in which is the best fucking moment of two Olympic athletes. I will start.
Okay,
go.
Okay, Bradley walks up to mm-hmm. the horse bar. Mm-hmm. He mounts it. He does a front
pommel
and lands on Tatiana's lap. She is wearing a strap on. That is my
that's
move.
Great.
Okay, that's good. Good. Okay. Should I go next?
Are Bradley and Tatiana real people that I should know about?
No.
Okay, great.
Okay. Tomas.
Well, you win already.
Standing on the diving board. Uh-huh. He is being watched by millions.
Ugh,
of
yours
people.
Is so good. I'm jealous.
He crouches down, sort of like a pop star, and slowly runs his hands up his body.
Oh, God.
And it's so sensual. And he rises up with his hands until he puts his hands above his head like a gymnast, like this. And you just see his hands go bink, like his little hands. They go bink down, like when a gymnast lands, and they go bink.
Yeah.
It's at this moment that someone comes up behind him. It's Roland. And Roland kind of grabs him and like Roland kisses his ear. Like, and he starts to bite his ear a little bit.
Oh my God.
And millions are watching this.
Yeah.
They never jump in the water.
And they just fuck on the board.
They don't even penetrate. It's just raw sensuality.
Yeah.
And it's so romantic.
I love that.
That gays are accepted everywhere.
Oh my God. Yes. I'm so jealous. I'm so embarrassed about mine. Why did I do a kind of sex that I've never been involved in? Why did I give shitty names
literally
after bragging that I'm good at names?
What you've just heard is my actual sexual fantasy.
That was
which
so...
is me being watched by millions of people be
I'm putting
sexy.
My sunglasses on.
And then someone comes up behind me and bites my ear and like fucking whispers in my ear and I'm like,
oh.
How about you?
Get
the fuck out. I can't follow this.
Yeah, that was, that's really hard.
You're a fucking writer on the show.
Oh, stop. Okay. It's the opening ceremony.
Oh, God.
And
sure.
The flags are being wheeled out, mm-hmm. carried out, I should say.
Yeah.
You have Ding Ding in the Chinese delegation.
Yes.
The Chinese team. Who is a 19-year-old. He's also a gymnast, male gymnast, mm-hmm. rippling muscles.
Hot.
Hot.
Stocky or like lean?
Stocky.
Okay.
Stocky dude. Stocky Jing Jing, the Chinese gymnast.
Got it.
And by the way, like every year, the Chinese male gymnasts are like, in my book, like the hottest people in mm-hmm. the whole fucking.
Can I say one more thing about mine?
Oh my god!
Wait,
I'm saying something about mine. If you say something,
okay,
about
hold
mine.
On.
Let me finish.
Jesus Christ! Unconscionable. Okay, so
the viewers are gonna, listeners are gonna be so mad that I did that.
Ding, ding 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 walks out with the flag, and then three delegations ahead.
Yes,
is Egypt and Kulthum.
Oh my god.
Is named after the Egyptian singer Kulthum. And he's on the hockey team. This is a weird like winter summer sort of like fusion. And then love affair. And then Kulthum runs back because he just sensed something, a sensuality pouring out of Ding Ding. Mm-hmm. And then they 69 while holding each other's flags. So Ding Ding standing, Kulthum like wraps his legs around his
oh
neck, flips around, goes down. They 69 as they carry their flags.
Mary Albee's gonna need to get involved
in
this.
And Mary Albee is watching from home, being like, "I should have sold the farm. I should have been there." Millions. It's the most watched moment in the entire operation, right?
The most watched. Yeah.
It's so. So impressive, but also so jarring that people, that gays are put in jails everywhere.
Oh my god,
it has the opposite effect.
Let me just color my story one more time.
Of course, I forgot to say Thomas and Roland. Each Thomas is competing for Mexico, mm-hmm. and Roland is competing for America, and therefore it is a political statement.
Trump is fuming. Okay,
and Trump actually, when he sees this, turns to sand.
Got beautiful.
Oh my god.
He turns to Sam.
Okay, Sabrina, do you have anything to add?
Yeah. Tatiana's gorgeous.
I already thought of her as gorgeous. What does she look like?
Her name's Tatiana.
Describe her.
Gender fluid.
Yes.
Okay. No one cares.
No one cares.
About the bio. Yeah. It's all steam on the face. Gorge.
She sounds so
sensual. So
stunning.
Bradley's real name is Blantiti.
Oh! Blantiti!
Get the last name. Horashta.
Horashta? Blantiti Horashta?
Pakistani?
Jihan.
Ah, Jihan.
Yes.
I forgot to say Toma's last name.
What?
Roma. Toma Roma.
And what's Roland's last name?
Williams.
Roland. Yeah. Tatiana? Mononym.
Oh, Tatiana's mononym, yeah.
Tatiana's known
mononymously as Tatiana.
Tatiana. Jing Jing's full name is Wen Jing Jing because last names go first in Chinese and Mandarin.
Sure.
And
Wen Jing Jing.
And Kulthum is Kulthum which is a reversal of Kulthum, which is an Egyptian
is
singer.
Is Kulthum actually an Egyptian
she
singer?
Is, yes. Is wow. really she was like the Madonna of. No, she was bigger than Madonna. She was like.
What?
Huge. She was like the biggest selling artist in like all of Africa and Europe. Like just
what happened to her? Why haven't I heard of her?
She died in like the 50s or the 60s or something.
Oh, this she was very
she
long
was very
ago.
Long.
Oh,
ago.
How do you know that?
I took a musicology course.
He's Las Culturistas.
I'm a Las Culturistas. There you go.
Maybe you've heard.
maybe you've heard. Wait, we have to ask Sabrina this question.
Oh, yes, we do.
You ask it.
Okay, so Sabrina, this is the question that we ask all of our guests when they roll through.
Uh-huh.
Which is, what was the culture that made you say culture was for me? Like the pop culture that you experienced as a youngster that made you kind of step into who you were.
It
like it's like a movie,
a book, a show,
a person that was like a celebrity, like a culture that you grew up with. What was the defining thing that you're like, oh, that was kind of like what defined me?
I've just been
Canada.
So nervous ever since you said we ask this to everybody.
Oh, there's no bad
but
answer.
This is about
now
stepping
my
forward.
Mind is finally racing away from that. Stepping forward,
It could just be like Canada, or it could be like just any big broad thing. Too.
Like seeing Ellen DeGeneres.
There you go.
Do stand up.
Amazing.
That was really big for you.
Yeah. Because she was, and I didn't know that I was gay. And I was.
Did
just,
you
like,
know that
watching
she was
this,
gay
like,
the first time you saw her?
I knew she was like me in some way.
I hear
you know, like
you.
Just seeing this woman be in her power and not be, breaking out of whatever anyone was supposed to be like, and just being so cool and fun and.
And then, are you? I'm curious. Well, not to like, I'm curious. Like, do you feel like Ellen has like lived up to that power like throughout?
Well,
her
now
whole
she's
career?
Like a huge company, and I don't think it's like a secret that like people say she's not that nice which
sure,
is a bummer.
Sure.
But also, like, everybody can't be everything.
Totally.
I mean, like, Sarah Silverman is also someone that I like. Love and admire and then last week that quote that she said was like, I mean, no matter what was attached before and after, the thing about like Louis C.K. masturbated in front of me, it's like why that
stop.
Sometimes, but it's like if you just keep on talking, I guess you will get caught up in some silliness.
I mean, that's kind of what we always say, like there's literally now hundreds of hours of us just talking, especially in the beginning when we thought no one would listen to this. Like they'll get us. But yeah, there is that thing of like, yeah, to Ellen's credit, I think, like, at least she's in complete control of everything that
she
says
in her
and
power.
Does. So you would never know because of something she does that she wasn't great. It's just, like, leaking people that, I guess, like, have experiences with her.
And I will say also, I think that people are always excited for a take on on an icon, you know? Like, every single person she meets, they have a takeaway of, like, the time they met Ellen.
Yes.
And she has like 101 business things to do in a day. So
you can't
be
everything. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And does she do more great than bad for sure? Right.
I would say
she's on TV every day.
Yes.
Genuinely and generally has used her powers for good.
Totally. Yeah.
And I guess that is the ultimate question that if you ask, if you go to bed every night and you say, did I use my powers for good today?
We've sort of taken Ellen to task in very fun, facetious ways.
No, I actually have a real problem with
Cut
Ellen.
Cut to!
Like my issue with Ellen is that I often think she gives problematic and sometimes maybe even dangerous celebrities platforms to kind of like look good.
Okay.
And so I think that's an issue that I personally have with her.
Which ones?
The example that I cite is Matthew Fox from Lost. He like punched a bus driver, a female bus driver.
He did?
Yeah, it was like...
Matthew Fox was also on Party of Five.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that about him.
He apparently was like a little bit, or maybe even a lot of bit abusive towards people. And I think that the very first talk show that he went on was like Ellen's show. And this is kind of before the whole era of like Time's Up, Me Too, I believe women being the kind of thing it is. But she didn't not give him a platform to be like,
this isn't who you
this
are.
This can't possibly be true. When it like very much possibly could be true.
And there was footage of him.
No, I don't know if that there was
Wasn't
footage.
There? Oh, okay.
I don't know about like what the specifics was. I know that his co-stars from Lost also stepped forward and said he's an abuser. Like Dominic Monaghan came forward and said that.
So then the way she framed the interview was very much like, come on, it's
It was
not
like,
you.
Wait, we know this isn't you. So what happened? And then he was able to say his story. Meanwhile, like this woman that made the allegation, like, I don't think she was afforded the same opportunities.
Definitely.
Also,
I guess you just like you. It is inevitable that you get at you lose touch with certain aspects of being a regular person when you're famous for most of your life.
And also, you know what? I don't fucking know Ellen. I just know like that's like I also don't know that it was entirely her decision to have him on. I also find that she is usually the one to have like Bieber on, or like I think I don't know if she's had Kanye on lately, but I feel like it's just like you can always kind of count on her to like, I think, be an advocate for these extremely famous people that have problems, which is I think having to do with the fact that she knows what it's like to be extremely famous and be scrutinized. However, I don't always think these people deserve the kind of retribution and like that kind of platform to get retribution that she allows them.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think you call a spade a spade.
The losing touch part is interesting. Oh, I was talking to someone about this.
But very funny and influential and good.
Totally. there's this thing, this fun, weird trend now where it's like these actors turned directors are making these period coming of age movies, right?
Yes.
With like your Greta Gerwig's, Lady Bird's, your Jonah mid-90s. Even, I guess, Bo Burnham with Eighth Grade. Mm-hmm. It's like there's this, it's like a new, weird, new, fun subgenre.
Seems like a trend.
It's a trend. And then we were like, what is that? And then Sandy Honig was like, I think it's because, and Sandy said that her brother Jake said this. It's like, it's like the reason they're making these period movies and that are coming of age is because that was the last time that they were like not famous and normal. They were like, wait, I was normal back then. Mm-hmm. Let me make a movie about that. Mm-hmm. And at least like that's better than like fully losing touch is to like create a touchstone for that. But like, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, your Ellens aren't going to be everything. But also, I mean, her stand-up back then was like amazing.
She's revolutionary.
Yeah.
Like comedic artist.
Huge fucking deal. Oh, love her.
Favorite. She's the Mary Albee of comedy.
She's the Mary.
I believe I that Ellen has done
a lot of people.
I also
that.
Think yeah. that I also think yeah. Ellen is could do stunts.
She could do stunts. Mary is the.
Oh, one other thing about stunts. Oh, please let this be better than the avocado farm. Please. Just a podcast where you say what your inner monologue is about what you're thinking to say. Well, it's better.
Make this interesting.
I hope the hosts like it. Is that when I was on In Real Life, on this, what I also learned from her was that stunt people get paid like double or triple what actors get paid.
Uh-huh. Really?
And if you're ever on set and you're asked to do anything like, and it doesn't have to actually be a stunt. If you're riding a horse, if you're like someone, you know, punches but misses you, like it doesn't have to be like a huge action thing.
Okay.
It qualifies as stunt pay. And now looking back, it's actually something that I was like, was I on the right side of my own history on this? Because I found that out and then made my agent fight for stunt pay like every time I like lifted a bag. Like every time I did anything at all.
I love that.
That's amazing.
Yes, advocate for yourself.
And eventually one of the producers pulled me aside, or the creator of the show pulled me aside, and he was like, you know when your agent is talking to us about money that like it's actually a conversation between you and me. And uh-huh. I was like, yeah.
But I'm doing it through
I don't know
agent.
What this is about.
Wait, I'm not comfortable with this. Hold on.
This
actually,
seems kind of stunty to me.
I'm actually
Are you
really not
throw
comfortable
me somewhere?
With this. Is this conversation seems like I should get paid stunt.
But the whole show was like, then you could always justify, because we were like, you know, running around with alligators and like just doing wild stuff.
Oh my God. I fucking was obsessed with
it. It worked. They liked it. They liked that part.
They liked that part. Did you ever watch on YTV as a kid?
With the goo?
With the goo.
Yeah, I think, of course.
Did they invent that before Nickelodeon did? No, I'm sure.
I don't know. I wonder.
Did slime.
Are you attacking America by saying that Nickelodeon wasn't the first to bring goo?
Absolutely.
How do you feel about the new regime being like mad at Canada? It's just like a whole other layer of like, oh God, I'm brown, I'm gay, I'm an immigrant, and you hate Canada?
Wait, do they hate Canada?
Yes.
Now?
Yes. They say that the beautiful prime minister is being unreasonable. They're just like
it's, oh my yeah, God. It's, the fact that the U.S. is antagonizing Canada is highly unusual.
It's, I mean,
it's so weird.
Like, just
it's like someone having a problem with Aparna Nancherla.
Right.
It's
that's
like
exactly
someone being
it.
Like, when she's in the green room, I'm not in there.
Can you imagine? I was going to say that.
Wait, now I'm thinking about fanfic of like Trudeau and Antony.
Oh, Canadians.
Those are two people who I would love to watch.
Is there ear nibbling on a diving board?
For me, it's not even about sensuality. I'd love to watch them like eat each other's ass.
Who's Toma?
Oh,
who's
God.
Okay.
They're so hot. Trudeau's butt is out of control. Have you seen his butt
recently?
It's that like photo of his ass. It's like, take a ting to be on your merry way.
I just wanted to say that. Mary Albee is the Toma Roma of stunts.
Toma Roma.
I just want to say that Tatiana, after Bradley lands on her, by the way, the thing that he jumps off is 100 miles tall. I forgot to tell
100
you.
100 miles tall.
Okay.
The tallest structure ever.
Okay.
And there's a roof over
she
it.
She takes an avocado out of her butt,
oh my God.
Cracks it open, like uses her nails to like slice around it, opens it, and inside is the perfect guac.
Oh, the guac is already made. There's like
it's made from the smashing. from Bradley Landing.
I forgot to say that Tomorrow Ma looks like a Latino version of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, and Roland Williams looks exactly like Anthony. In fact, it is Anthony.
I forgot to say that that Jing Jing also does. He is a gymnast after all. Also does the 100-mile pommel horse, lands and does unfortunately die as most people would. But Bradley lands perfectly on the strap on, gets pegged, and it doesn't.
Fan fiction about my facts.
Someone told me recently that they sat on a dick and came immediately, and I was like, imagine that.
Oh my God. Yeah. Imagine that.
In fact, a good mutual friend of ours.
Sat on a dick and came immediately.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Fun. That's fun.
I whispered
good
it over
her.
The mic.
Oh my God.
Okay, I think it's time.
I think it might be time.
For I Don't Think So, Honey?
It's time for I Don't Think So, Honey.
Okay, cool.
Are you fucking ready?
I'm fucking ready.
Okay.
So, I Don't Think So, Honey. Oh, by the way, are you going to be in December? Are you going to be in December?
I already harassed you on Twitter about it.
Know,
I want to be on the
but
show.
You
now.
Are on the show. Yeah. Okay, perfect. Okay. So, you're booked. Me and Joel Kimbooster are going to host it together because Bo and Yang will be working. And
How come you can't leave?
I can leave.
You should leave a second.
I can leave for a second.
You should say in
LA.
Your contract when you want to go, you can go. When you want to come back, you can come back. And you're not staying all night with those fools.
And I do stunt pay. I do stunts.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
I'm doing some stunt riding and I'm feeling dangerous. Can someone put some money in my pocket?
I'm not comfortable with this conversation. I'm stunt. Listen. December 5th, LA, the Regent. It's just going to be so much fun. Get your tickets
so
now.
Fun.
It's downtown LA.
I'm seething with jealousy that I can't.
November 30th, we're doing one here at the Bell House. That'll be fucking fun.
November 26th, we're doing Queers Live at Joe's Pub.
Yes.
And
April 19th, my birthday.
Oh.
March 5th, my birthday, just a little bit sooner.
November 6th, Election Day, my birthday.
January 27th,
and also,
my son was born.
by the time this episode is released, we'll already have voted.
Oh my God. I don't think so, honey. The pit in my stomach.
I know, yeah. I don't think so, honey. That feeling.
We'll see.
Okay. I actually have something.
Okay, great. this is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey's Time Starts Now.
I don't think so, honey, when people are arguing on the subway and it gets physical.
Oh.
You guys, yes. It is never worth it. I don't care if you think you are right in this argument, this dispute, whatever. Do not touch another person. And if someone is trying to come for you physically, you get up and you walk the fuck away.
Ooh.
Over the past month, I have seen so many people just like fucking do dick measuring contests, men and women alike.
What?
And it's just like, you guys, it is, you're going to hurt someone else. Like, that's the thing, is it's like, if you're on the side of the subway, like, and you're waiting for something to come and you start having a physical altercation and screaming, you make people nervous. Like, if you push someone, like, the subways are crowded. Like, seriously, put your dick away. Stop it. It is not worth it. I understand you might feel like in the wrong, but it's like, when you're in the subway, that's the fucking Wild West. That to me is like a place where you do not mess around. If someone gets pushed under the tracks, that's a fucking nightmare scenario.
5 seconds.
Do not be fighting on the subway. If it gets physical, you run the other way.
Oh my God, that's 1 minute. I didn't know this was happening so often.
I've been witnessing it happen so many times recently where it's just like a stupid little fight or like someone catches someone the wrong way where like they hear something. Like I was on the subway the other day, actually at the Fulton G stop, and this woman like really started screaming at this other woman because she felt that she was nasty to her son or like gave her son a weird look. And then it immediately, like 2 minutes into the conversation, of course, got like racial. And then it was like this weird thing where it was like, I don't think this is gonna stop. And I actually ended up, my subway came and I had driven away before it got to there, but it got, both of them started physically threatening each other. Like it was like, it looked, one of them got up and then she slammed the coffee out of the other one's hand. So it did get physical. I was like, there's kids there. It's like, you have to know better than this. Like, stop. And also because it is a little bit about performing for people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you're fighting like that.
And
then she kept saying, like, I will do whatever it takes to like protect my kids. And I'm like, you are not protecting your kid right now.
Yeah.
And then it was this whole other issue of like, this woman's clearly unstable. And the other woman, like, didn't have any sense in her fucking brain because she wouldn't just get up and walk away. She just kept responding. And it's like, someone's got to be the bigger person here. Like, especially on the subway, it particularly bothers me there because it's like such like a weird, like amorphous situation.
Yeah.
Like it's really dangerous down there.
Wow.
I don't know. I really don't like
it. I hate physical, violent, like domestic-y. It's just like my whole body and my whole, I can't get it out of my head. It's just the idea of not feeling safe and just like what the least you could do is not fucking punch people and hurt people and make people.
Unless it's a Nazi.
Unless it's a Nazi,
and that you please be in the field.
Yeah, please, everybody.
Just no fighting in the subway.
No fighting in the subway.
Oh, it's not worth it. Also, you're not going to see each other literally ever again. Like, what are you getting?
You're only involving the other person in your life forever.
Don't be fighting in the subway.
Oof.
This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, this new trend of corduroy being back. And yes, I'm looking at my blue corduroy hat, but also I got on the ground floor with this trend back in 2005 when I bought a brown corduroy blazer and I felt like fucking Mark from Rent, bitch. I felt like I was so ahead of this trend, and now everyone wants to hop on this thing now that I invented, I should say. Mm. I sewed this hat together. I truly did. Wow. And I might as well have. I mean, it's figuratively
30 seconds,
speaking.
Bitch.
I don't know about this corduroy thing. I know it's fall, but we're grasping at straws here. We still have not given flannel its full moment. I think there's plenty to be explored in the area of flannels. And for people to start going crazy over corduroy, 15 over
seconds.
Over this rough, basically striped material is patently stupid to me, and fashion will look back.
5 seconds.
History will look back on this with a discerning eye, and we will not be looking back on
and
this.
And that's
well.
1 minute. So he's attacked something that he does.
I'm wearing a corduroy hat as well.
But I'm saying this trend now of other people, of the layperson wearing corduroy. No. This is for the patricians. No. Not for anyone else.
Wow, that was true superiority.
Classism. Absolutely.
That you are classist.
I am classist.
But also, everyone's I will say, corduroy. You know who's a true flannel queen is me, and I have not been wearing my flannel. And also, our guest is
Sabrina's wearing both. She's wearing flannel and
corduroy.
It's me, perfect baby jellies.
Perfect baby jellies.
Wait,
Sabrina, have you met Sudi yet? I feel like
you know Sudi.
You and Sudi are like...
Yeah.
You know Sudi? Yes.
I met you guys at Charles's other party in LA.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Sudi was there.
Oh, beautiful. I feel like you guys are like...
That was a gorgeous meeting, and you were not there.
And now sometimes we're in each other's Instas. I like your picture.
Love that.
That was good.
Uh-huh.
Wait, so we met, and Sabrina, that was one of the nights I danced the hardest in my life.
Wow.
Did you see me dancing that night?
I gave you the power to dance that night.
You did, actually.
I chose one person to activate, and it was you.
Because she was hanging out with Lisa Traeger, and I said, oh, any friend of Lisa Traeger's.
Oh,
Lisa Traeger is currently wheeling our son around Whole Foods.
Oh, my God.
Seriously?
Wait, you're not babysitting?
Probably
fucking high as the 100
mile
beam.
She's a great nanny.
I'm sure Lisa's such a good nanny. I love her.
Honestly, I fucking love Lisa.
She's a great auntie.
She is Auntie Lisa.
So weird to just immediately call her
Auntie Lisa.
She's a great nanny. Like, what?
Nanny McPhee.
She's a wonderful maid.
She's a wonderful maid.
Nanny Traeger. Nanny Traeger.
A professional comedian.
I call her Nanny Traeger.
There should be a movie called Nanny Traeger.
We had such a lovely time. The four of us had such a lovely time in Montreal on that pool.
Recorded the dialogue for the trailer.
Do you remember the pool?
The pool was fun.
And don't say the four of us when also Joel was there.
I was going to mention Joel as well. Joel is also there. Sabrina, are you ready?
I am ready.
This is Sabrina Jalisa's I Don't Think So, Honey. Your time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. When I came on this podcast and then I immediately started talking about what celebrities were at the party last night. I felt pressure from you guys to say it.
No, don't you do that.
And immediately, I Don't Think So, Honey. It doesn't make me look cool. It makes me look like a fool.
No.
I Don't Think So, Honey.
Not cool about a fool.
I do not think so about rhyming there. I don't think so, honey, about any time that you get your mouth moving and then start too fast and then you're like Bradley on that beam about to jump off and you're going, the gravity is pushing you down and you cannot stop yourself from the riff that you are on, but you do not commit. You don't feel committed to it. You immediately already want to be just the girl that was at the party and not saying that the cool people were there. Just that makes you part of the cool people.
15 seconds.
You feel outside of the coolness. If you say that they were there, you could have just blended in.
Oh my
God. People saw the photos on Instagram. I don't think so, honey. You didn't need to do that.
5 seconds.
And I don't think so, honey, the way I feel right now, vulnerable.
Oh,
listen. And that's one minute. But here's the thing. Hey. I think it was super cool that you were at an Ellen Page party.
I think it was super cool.
Ellen Page party is the only kind of party I need.
Ow!
An Ellen Page party is the only kind of party I need.
I'll turn the page.
She was so good in Inception. Throws mic.
Stop, don't, it'll break. And we should mention that Tessa Thompson was also at the party.
Yes.
And but you're right about, well, if you didn't.
I always feel
if
dumb
I didn't
after
mention it, it would have been cooler. You would have included. But it's, I don't know.
No, but this is Las Culturistas. Canadian?
Is it because I'm a cute little baby?
I think it's because this is Las Culturistas and we are the culture. We get to the bottom of culture. And that part of that is finding out who was at the cool party.
And yes. Sabrina, you're part of the culture now. You have to just name the thing when you see it.
You are on screen. You are behind the scenes. You are on the creams.
You're on the deadline cream. I can't.
Oh, wait. I want to ask one thing about Diablo and your show.
Take it away.
What can you tell us a little bit about what's going to be about?
Absolutely not.
There you go.
No.
We can't.
It's going to be it's a
beautiful show.
Multicam?
Oh, great.
Hot.
Okay. It is based on a couple like myself and my wife.
Yeah.
What if the in-laws bought the house right next to you?
Oh.
What if
honey.
It was Everybody Loves Raymond but just like, you know, my life.
Wow.
And what if I wanted the love of my father-in-law so much that he didn't want to open up? And what if the mother-in-law wanted the love of the daughter that's my wife too much?
Yes.
And what if every time you came home, they were there? And what if all these characters loved each other? They were broken, but they really just wanted the love of one another, but they just damn bought it in the wrong way. Every time the act two drops, there's a lot of confusion. And in act three, everybody resolves a bit, but
like
it resets every single week, cause you gotta have a show, cause you gotta be great.
Sabrina show. It's Sabrina Sabrina show.
And it's gonna be great.
We ended on a song. We always end on
we
a song.
Did. You're going to kill yourself.
You're going to fucking
she's
die.
She's
Bradleying.
You know what? It's because she got so wet for her own show that she slid right off her
chair.
Oh,
my God.
Honestly, the most dangerous stunt I've ever done.
Honestly, we can't pay you at all for this.
I slid
this.
Down.
You slid and you were almost on the ground.
If
hon.
I could just reference my I Don't Think So, Honey, I was Bradley. I was Bradley and I
could just reference. Well, this has been a fucking barrel of laughs.
Oh,
what
God.
A lovely, lovely time.
I mean, listen, we talked cult, we talked
countries.
We talked mulch, if you consider the baby rising out of the mulch.
Yes, if you consider.
We talked bulge and that to hot men.
Oh my God. Well, look out for Sabrina on the upcoming Search Party season.
Yes, please do.
Also, check out her Netflix comedy special, The Comedy Line Now.
Come to my Instagram. I like attention.
She likes attention. She's a beautiful baby.
You can find her on the gram.
Lots
Wolfie,
of stories.
Like Wolfie, just hard. Just if you see a picture of Wolfie, give that two hard taps.
And comment Lalu Baba.
Lalu Baba.
Lalu Baba.
I love that possibly Lalu Baba.
Lalu Baba. Sabrina, we love you so much.
Now, before we go, I just want us all to go on, because we've already done the song.
Be about Mary.
Everyone going out in the circle and say the hottest celebrity.
Yes.
Ready? Starting with Bowen Yang.
Matthew Fox.
What? Do you know that I lined up to see him at Canada's Wonderland?
Oh, what? Never mind.
Wait, Marineland or Wonderland?
Canada's Wonderland.
Did you go to Marineland as a kid?
No, I had a season's pass to Wonderland, and that's where my theft really started.
Theft?
You were a thief?
As a child, I was a
thief. we need
to get, we'll get into this next time.
I'm putting everything up my sleeves.
Really? You were like a little pickpocket?
In Canada's Wonderland, there was no real police. It was a utopia for theft.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Which is anarchy.
I'm don't steal anymore.
Hottest celebrity.
Both your cell phones are in my pocket.
I was like, where's my shit?
Jennifer Love Hewitt? No, go.
I can't be JLH. Hottest celebrity. Can you do it first?
Scott Wolf.
Hottest celebrity. I'm gonna have to go with
Ryan
Utuk.
Philippe.
Was it Utuk?
Unkutum.
There you go. Look her up.
Well, look her up. Unkutum.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.